I want to say to every Sunday school teacher, junior church worker, bus driver, bus captain, you just keep doing what God has called you to do at this church. You're able to see just a little bit of what your influence is doing, and you just keep it up. I let you know that because I know sometimes as he was talking about the bus kids tearing up the place, my ears raised up on that. I'm a bus kid. I used to tear up the church. I used to talk in the back with the football players. That was my job in church. And so I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for bus workers who came by my house, 3650 Ruth Drive, Brunswick, Ohio, knocked on our door. And as a result of them inviting me and my family, my brothers and my sisters, to come to church, my brother got saved. My older brother, Chris, he trusted Christ as Savior as a result of a bus worker. My older sister, Robin, she trusted Christ as Savior as a result of a bus worker inviting us to ride the church bus. And then I trusted Christ as Savior. And then my little brat of a sister, I mean my younger sister that I love, Tanya, she trusted Christ as Savior. I've never had the luxury of sitting in a church service like this and having my mom and dad next to me. And I had good parents. My parents loved me, but they never took me to church. But because a bus came by and they would always pick me up, and Sunday school teacher would teach me the Bible and love on me. Junior church workers would wrestle with me and my friends, try to keep our attention. I'm where I'm at today. Isn't that the grace of God? And so I say to each of you who are teaching, who are having a part, whether it was in VBS, you just stay faithful. You never know who you're impacting. As I said, I did. I trusted Christ as Savior. I would say to you, I went to a public school, grew up, as a bus kid. My parents were divorced, but the Lord was gracious to allow me to come in contact with the gospel. Never forget that day. I didn't realize how that one question that was posed to me that day was going to change my life forever and for eternity. Whenever an older gentleman asked me, if you were to die today, do you know with Bible certainty you would go directly to heaven, or would you have some doubt? Never heard that before. And so, would you like to go? Well, of course. I might have been a dumb public school bus kid, but who doesn't want to go to heaven? And that man graciously shared the scriptures from me. He didn't talk about the church. He took me to the Bible and he let me know that I was a sinner. I didn't need anybody to tell me that. I knew that I had done things that had transgressed God's law, so I was easy to admit that I was a sinner. And then he gave me the news that my sin would damn me to hell for all eternity. I wasn't prepared for that, but he showed me from the Bible that the wages of sin is death. I didn't want to go to hell. He had my attention at that point. And then he asked me, did you ever wonder why Jesus Christ died on the cross? Never really thought about it. He explained to me that Jesus left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay for my sins. Boy, no one ever told me that. And he told me, Jesus loves you. Wow, loves me. He's got my attention now. He showed me I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior was Jesus Christ. And he told me, if I would, from a repentant heart, call upon Christ to save me, that Christ would come in and wash away all of my sins. That day, I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Big decision, just one decision. I say to you tonight, there's never been a time in your life where you have trusted Christ as Savior. It's not about a church. It's not about religion. It's not about saying prayers. It's understanding why Jesus Christ died on the cross. I would encourage you tonight before you leave, if you've never been what the Bible terms born again, I hope that you would trust him this evening. I know the hour is late. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14, if you would. John chapter 14. As you're seated there, I won't ask you to stand, but I would like for you to give me your attention John chapter 14, beginning at verse 16. Here the Bible records, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Jump down, if you would, to verse number 25. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The setting for this teaching by Jesus on the Holy Spirit is the upper room there in Jerusalem. Jesus is in the upper room. He's spending the last hours with his apostles before his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus is trying to cover the major topics that they need to grasp before his death and filling them with truths that will help them through the upcoming trials that they are to face. May I say this evening that the greatest help that born-again believers are to receive and you have with you tonight is the very presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. As a born-again believer, as somebody who looks to the Scriptures, we have a biblical worldview. And it's a worldview that does not say that I wake up every day with the mindset that God exists to make my life happy, make me satisfied and peaceful. The Bible teaches that you and I, we were created by Him and for His pleasure and for His glory, you and I are created. We see that in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, where the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." You and I are here tonight so that we will bring honor and glory to God the Father. As a born-again believer, I must learn to relinquish control of my life and just depend on the Lord. Now that's a struggle. That's a struggle for me at times because I tend to get angry. I tend to get frustrated with God when things don't go the way that I planned or they don't turn out the way that I expected them to. And so with the wrong mindset, I can begin to point an accusing finger at God and say, "Well, I'm not happy. You promised that I would be happy." But we were created to please Him and not for God to be at our beck and call and to make us happy, comfortable in a life without disappointment, death, trauma, or tragedy. I've got to learn as a Christian to let go and to depend upon someone else and that someone else is God. That's hard for me because whenever I let go, that makes me vulnerable. That requires trust. That requires faith. But as a Bible believer, you and I, we believe God is sovereign and that He's created us for a purpose and He has a will for our lives. You and I that are Christians, we don't believe in luck. We don't believe in faith. We believe that there is a greater purpose for all things. Now, with that as a backdrop in a context, I just want to say one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to comfort the believer. Webster defines comfort as relief from pain or uneasiness of body. Comfort is ease and quietness of mind when worried. God offers this comfort to the child of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is not a life that is absent of pain, struggle, or tragedy, but there is a comfort to help us and to support us while we fulfill God's purpose for our lives. I want you to look at verse 16. There is the promise of the Holy Spirit in verse 16. He shall give you another comforter. Jesus leaves the apostles, but he promises them a comforter, and that comforter is the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 17, there is the people for the Holy Spirit. He says, the people that receive the Holy Spirit of God are those who are born again believers. Whenever you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit began to take residence and he indwells every born again believer. And then in verse number 18, there is the provision of the Holy Spirit. He promises comfort. The Holy Spirit does. Comfort, that ease and quietness of mind when distressed. Comfort that gives us strength and support in distress, difficulty, and danger. You and I, we are going to have difficult and troublesome times in your life and in my life, but we don't have to go through life alone. The great hope and the great comfort in the Christian life is I'm not alone. The Holy Spirit indwells me and he wants to comfort me. According to Webster's dictionary, the words comfort foods were first used in 1977. They say that a comfort food is something that you eat that provides a sentimental feeling to the person eating it. Comfort foods are said to relieve negative psychological effects or to increase positive feelings. Chicken noodle soup. Feel like a liberal tonight. Chicken noodle soup for the soul, amen? That ought to be a good book. I'm going to write that one day. Chicken noodle soup is a classic comfort food. It doesn't matter what culture, what people, who doesn't enjoy some chicken noodle soup? You think that's good? Dark chocolate. I knew I'd get an amen. Boy, I tell you what, you were falling asleep. I pull out a little bit of chocolate. Yay, yay. Dark chocolate is said to be a comfort food. They say that dark chocolate is just full of antioxidants. I don't know what they are, but they say they're supposed to be good. My problem with dark chocolate is that I've ate so much of this comfort food that I now feel guilty about my weight. And so I've got to eat more comfort food, you know? It's a vicious cycle. I'm not saying that there are benefits to eating healthy. Listen to me tonight. Comfort food will never provide the comfort that the Holy Spirit wants to give to the child of God. As born-again believers, we must allow the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to ease and quiet our minds when we're troubled, and to give us strength. Thank God for chicken noodle soup. Thank God for dark chocolate. But may I say tonight, the Holy Spirit was given to you and I to do what a chocolate bar could never do. The Holy Spirit wants to aid. The Holy Spirit wants to assist and comfort you during those difficult times in life. If you want to have a bite of chocolate, have a bite of chocolate. But I say that chocolate can never do what the Holy Spirit desires to do in your life. Now, how does the Holy Spirit, or what tools does the Holy Spirit use to give us this comfort? I want to look at some of these tools. I want you to use your Bible. I want you to see it, would you? I want you to turn with me to Romans 15 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. Number one, the Holy Spirit provides comfort through the Scriptures. Romans 15 and verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Holy Spirit provides comfort through the Scriptures. One of the tools that the Holy Spirit uses to ease and quiet our minds when troubled is the Bible. When you and I are going through a difficult time and we neglect to read our Bible, we are robbing ourselves of an opportunity to receive comfort from the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, most Christians neglect their Bible reading during those times when they need comfort and strength of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if you're going through a difficult time, don't skip your Bible reading time. The Holy Spirit has a way of using the Scriptures to give us that ease of mind and to do what chocolate and chicken noodle soup cannot do. The Scriptures. Look with me, if you would, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 49. Psalm 119 and verse 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. How important it is for you and I to allow the Holy Spirit of God to use the word of God in times of our affliction. I hasten, number two, the Holy Spirit provides comfort through the local church. Take your Bible, if you would, look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Acts chapter number 9 and verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Did you notice that phrase, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit? I want to talk to each and every one of you right here, good church folk on a Sunday night. I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit was trying to comfort you in your time of need, but you didn't think you could go to church while you were struggling with the news from your doctor or the heartache from a family situation. As I pastor, nothing broke my heart more than this, to see one of the church members going through a difficult time in their life, and they would tell me, "Preacher, I'm going through a tough time right now. After I get through the tough time, I'll get back to church." No, do you understand? The Holy Spirit wants to use your local church, your church, to comfort you. Don't skip church when you're going through a difficult time. When you're going through that difficult time, that's when you need to be in church. And that's when the Holy Spirit is going to use the Scriptures. That's when He's going to use the local church to give you the comfort you need. May I say to you, when you go through the tough times, don't sit out of church. You get in church and allow the Holy Spirit to give you that comfort that you so desperately deserve. Jesus has not left us as orphans. He's given us the Holy Spirit. I say, number three, the Holy Spirit provides comfort through preaching. Preaching. Take your Bible, if you would, look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The Jewish captives here in Babylon, they needed hope, they needed comfort, because God was chastening them because of their sin. And so, the instrument through which God is going to administer comfort is through the preaching of Isaiah. Far too many of us do not realize the importance of preaching. We need to develop an appetite for preaching. It's something that many of God's people think that they can get by without. And again, when they are really robbing themselves of an opportunity to be strengthened and blessed by the Holy Spirit. As a born-again believer, may I say, I hope the only time you hear preaching isn't on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Boy, I tell you what, with the different electronic gadgets that we have now, man, you can watch it on, you can watch preaching on YouTube, you can listen to it. There's not a reason for you and I to all the time be entertained by music. Boy, God wants to use, and the Holy Spirit wants to use preaching to give you that comfort that you want in your life. And one of the ways He does it is through preaching. Let's not settle for just one sermon a week. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to use these tools to comfort us. I say number four, the Holy Spirit provides comfort through other Christians. Take your Bible. I want you to look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 19. Philippians 2 and verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. One of the blessings of being a member of a local church is the comfort that we receive from the unselfish people of the church. And I don't know about you, there have been times when I just kind of was dragging into church. And the Lord used the good, unselfish people of the church to comfort me. Now listen, if you come to church with the attitude, bless me, preacher, you're going to go away miserable all of the time. But if you and I can have that biblical mindset that realizes there are going to be people that are going to walk through the doors of our church, and when they come in, they're going to have some heartache or some type of a burden, and I'm going to do everything I can to be a help and a blessing. Can I tell you, if you will say, I'm going to go to church and be a blessing, instead of sitting and saying, bless me, let me tell you, if you come wanting to be a blessing, you can go away always being fulfilled, because there are always people in church who are carrying a burden. I say, whenever you are carrying a burden, when you're going through the difficult times, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit uses other born-again believers. It could be just a squeeze on the shoulder. It could be a pat on the back. It could be just a wink. that just tells you, you know what? I can make it. I don't know how many times I said, oh boy, I don't know if I want to go to church. And my wife says, no, you have to go to church, all right? You're vice president of the college. You'll get demerits, all right? And I go to church. There have been times when I didn't want to go to church, but I don't know about you. Every time that I've gone to church, I've left saying, you know what? I'm glad I went to church today. I don't know. It's the way that the Holy Spirit works. Now, time out here. You have to be saved to have the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But there are people who are unsaved. I don't know how they deal and cope with the problems of life without the Holy Spirit. And I'm not being unkind there. I sure am glad that whenever I received Jesus Christ as Savior, I was indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now you understand, saved people have the Comforter inside of them. Unsaved people do not. Now, I say that for this reason. As born-again believers, we should be uncomfortable around the world's crowd and comfortable around Christians, because they have the Comforter and I have that same Comforter. I just don't feel comfortable around God's people. Ooh. Boy, take advantage of this thing of coming to church and being around God's people. I guess what I'm saying tonight is, why settle for dark chocolate and chicken noodle soup when you can have the Holy Spirit comfort you? What a blessing to know I'm not going through life alone, and the Holy Spirit wants to comfort me. I don't know about you. I just gave you just a few of the tools that the Holy Spirit uses. You know what I say? Let's take advantage of all of those tools so that the Holy Spirit can do what chocolate and chicken noodle soup cannot do. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, don't be embarrassed. I was the same way. I didn't know until someone shared that with me. Wouldn't it be a great thing to be able to come to church tonight to receive Christ as a Savior, but not only that, leave with the Holy Spirit inside? What a great God we have that doesn't leave us as orphans. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, the preacher is going to come up. Whatever decision you need to make tonight, I'll pray, and then the preacher will direct the invitation. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for your ministry of comfort. May every one of us, including myself, may we not settle for substitutes for what you want and what only you can do in our lives. Oh, bring comfort that only you can give. And then if there's someone here tonight that's never been saved, I pray that even tonight they get that decision, make that most important decision to trust you as Savior. Whatever the need is, I pray that you would work in this invitation as the pastor takes the invitation.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight and you want to come to the altar, let me invite you to do that as they sing this first verse. Perhaps you've not been availing yourself of the ministry of the Holy Spirit like you ought to. And you know that, and the Lord spoke to you about that tonight, so let me invite you to come. Just spend a few moments with the Lord. Would you do that? Maybe you're in here tonight and you've been carrying whatever those problems and burdens are all by yourself. Boy, what a wonderful thing to know that you don't have to do that. You can come to the Lord tonight and you can rest in what the Holy Spirit will do in and through you. Join these that are praying tonight if you need to come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll sing through another verse. If you need to come, come on this verse.
Seat and turn in your hymnal to 337 while the pastor prepares for some baptisms tonight. You know, baptism is a step of faith, isn't it? Trust and obey. 337.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, blessed if we trust and obey. And obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust
Amen. Well, appreciate your patience for a few moments. This is Brianna McCracken, and she's been coming to our church for quite some time now, and she was saved a little while ago in Sunday school, and we praise the Lord for that, and she's here tonight to make profession of her faith, and we're so thankful for that. Brianna, do you know for sure you're saved and on your way to heaven? Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.